guys, we have another episode for you this week, and we're super excited to share it with you. But before we get into that, I did want to take a minute to apologize for the audio quality of last week's episode, as well as this week's episode, and next week's episode. So, like a real rookie, I was messing around with some of the settings on our recording equipment, and because I'm not a sound engineer, I had no idea what I was doing. Also, because I didn't read the instruction manual. And when we recorded these last three episodes, it was all on the same day after I had fiddled around with the recording equipment. And I did not realize that we were recording in the wrong format. And so I was couldn't figure out, you know, when I was editing last week, why things sounded so, like, you know, murky and almost kind of like we had a lisp in a couple of the segments. And so then when we were planning to go out and record some other new episodes, I took a minute and was fiddling around and realized what I had done. And so I fixed it. So in a couple weeks, you guys should hear an improvement. Additionally, this episode was recorded kind of as we were walking around the property, and so there's some moments where it is hard to hear, and I do want to apologize for that. You know, we always want to bring you a high quality production, and unfortunately, due to some human error, that just didn't happen this week. So we hope that you will still listen and, you know, be able to get at least a sense of Luso della Terra, which is the spot that we visited. They are very hospitable and very great, and so we hope that you'll check them out and stay tuned for more. All right, let's get into the episode. Hey guys, welcome to Central Coast Uncorked.
Yeah, welcome to another week.
Yes. Another day, another dollar. Another week, another
episode.
Baller. I don't know. Now I'm rapping. I should stop while I'm ahead. You guys, when I was younger, I wanted to be a rapper.
Ooh, what was going to be your rapper name?
No, because I don't know
how to rap. Lil Jamie.
There's so much wrong with that sentence that I don't even know where to start.
There is. Although your glasses are a little like this era rapper-ish.
Right. Yeah. Ooh, this era.
This I'm era. Like, you wouldn't be a 90s rapper with those glasses, but like...
That's good, because I feel like rappers in the 90s were much better, so I would have needed way more skill.
You might be a mumble rapper, though.
A rapper now, you just have to have a look and say you're a rapper, and you pretty much qualify.
Jamie B. Any Jamie T.
Ways, I don't know where we are.
Torrin.
I've never been here. I don't know anything about it. I've driven by. When we drove by a little bit ago, I was like, oh, that place is pretty. And then I was like, hey, we're going there.
Yes.
That's the extent of my knowledge.
Yeah, I really don't know much about Torrin either. I know that it is on Peachy Canyon Road. So in that area of Paso off of Vineyard. So a little ways out of town, but not too bad.
Yeah.
It's a gorgeous setting.
It is. It's very pretty.
So I'm excited to check it out because I am going to flip my head around.
As long as you're not talking, I don't see, like...
Vineyards, so I'm not sure if they do estate fruit or like what the case is here.
Well, let's go find out.
Let's go find out. We'll see you guys after.
It's pretty in here, isn't it?
I love the like garage doors.
I know.
I feel like if it wasn't a million degrees out, it would be perfect to have them open.
Yeah. These chairs are really comfortable, too.
Yeah, I
want to,
like, live out here.
Right?
Yeah.
It's gorgeous.
When we drove by earlier, I was like, wow, that place is so pretty. And then I was like, oh, we're going there.
You're like,
yeah. What are the chances?
Yeah. So, a couple more things. You guys let me know how...
Basically, we just record our wine tasting.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we're actually already recording, and then we edit for time and edit for content and all of that. Okay. So
yeah. You have to be gentle on me because I'm the newest one.
Oh, for sure.
No worries.
We're not critics.
Yeah.
We're just here to have a good time.
Yeah. Cool. So you guys, I heard you pointing out all the vineyards, Pianosito, Solomon.
Yeah, you guys have some good
Yeah, some premium vineyards that we work with. So I'm going to start you guys off with a Chardonnay. So just to kind of go through the flight here, we have our Lagom line that is a little side project, if you will. So it only consists of the one white, which is Chardonnay, and Pinot Noir, all grown coastally. And then we have our Torin line, which is more sourced locally, more of the Rhone, the big bold reds. Okay. So we just wanted to differentiate the two, which is why there's two different lines on there. And the Lagom, we only make 500 cases, and we will never grow that. So it's literally just a small project for Scott Bacow. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about Torin and history?
Yeah. So our winemaker and owner is Scott Hawley. Who's been in the Paso wine scene for over 20 years. He's actually done a lot of wine consulting for other wineries, such as Alta Colina, Caliza, Jada, and a lot of people know him from Law. So he was the original winemaker at Law.
Oh, okay.
He came in the area right around 2000, and he was working for a very big winery at the time, which is Fetzer. And he graduated Fresno State, so started working with Fetzer, kind of doing old world style Pinot Noirs and things like that, and traveling around. So when he first came here, he ran into Pebble Smith, Justin Smith's dad, of Saxum. So kind of built a relationship. He invited him in his garage and started building a relationship with Scott, and linked up ever since. And actually in 2002, offered Scott a block off of his property to start working with.
Oh, wow.
And at the time, Scott really didn't think of being a winemaker for himself. So he had about 4 years because there were new plantings. So time to plant it all out. So 2006 was our first vintage. It was always kind of a little outlet for Scott because he was doing wine consulting for all these other wineries at the time. But everyone kind of knew his reputation and his wine, so it just kept growing by word of mouth. He started with 300 cases total, and now for 2017, we'll be right around 2,200. So 3,000 will be our cap. So kind of the opposite of Fetzer that had over a million cases.
Yeah.
So now he's like, no, that's it. You know, I want to keep it kind of small. And we were out of Tin City before, so our tasting room is not even a year old. Yeah. So we were one of the ones out of Tin City. It's kind of a little fun incubator.
Yeah.
So our tasting room built from the ground up almost a year. So
cool.
Brand new. Still got the brand new smell in
it. Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
I love it. It's so pretty.
Yeah.
Are there plans to grow estate fruit?
Yeah. So he likes that he can source all of his fruit right now, but he has full control over every property that he works with.
Okay.
So when to water, when to pick, all of that is under his control. So we have a 70-acre lot right here with the tasting room, and Scott and Bacow and the two boys live on the property, as well as our assistant winemaker. And we have about 15 to 20 acres we could plant probably within the next year or two. And I think he's thinking Grenache. So it grows really well out here.
Yeah. I love it.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So the Chardonnay is the first thing I poured for you. 2016, coming from Spanish Springs, a lot cooler of a climate over there. It's less than, I want to say, 3 miles right from the shoreline, so super close to the beach. A lot of coastal influence on this. This is actually only our second vintage of a Chardonnay. 15 was our first one, and Scott got inspired by a flight of 10-year-old Burgundian Chardonnay. So it's definitely kind of taken that feel, full malolactic fermentation, unfiltered, and you kind of get that nice, almost like a natural apple juice kind of hue to it. So a year in barrel, and around 2 years in bottles. So I'll tell
you. Cool. Quick,
yeah.
Awesome. That's a beautiful label too.
Yeah.
It is.
From what I've heard, it's actually a picture of their sage plant that they were growing.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's really good.
We're gonna go east down and crush out back. Why don't you guys come?
We were just at Via Creek and the tasting attendant there, he was like, ooh, their Chardonnay is supposed to be really amazing.
Yeah, it's really fun because Scott has always worked with these big bold reds, but nobody really knows that right out of college, the first varietal he worked with was Pinot Noir. So he can do almost everything under the sun, and a lot of times people want to put you in that little pocket of, oh, you can just do this, and he busts out a Chardonnay.
Yeah, no, this is delicious.
Yeah, it's great.
I love the glass too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Beautiful. Scott also tries all of our wines in every glass, so whatever wine he feels like best to represent it, we'll pour it in that glass. Yeah, so this is the New World Pinot Noir glass, because Pinot Noir you taste on the tip of your tongue.
Mm-hmm.
So the New World has that like lip on there, the Old World doesn't. And it helps guide right to the tip of your tongue where you're going to taste it the most.
Clever.
Yeah. So as you guys go along, you're probably going to notice the mouthfeel of all these wines. So that's just as important to Scott as the aroma and the taste. So kind of how long it lingers, especially when we move into the Torin. Some of them, it's like a good 5 minutes that they're just sitting hanging out.
Yeah. I just drank that. It really does put it on the tip of your tongue.
She's like,
that's
whoa.
Crazy. Like, I knew glasses could affect it, but I didn't. Maybe no one's ever told me exactly where it's going to put it in my mouth.
It really reminds me of one of the Tolosa Chardonnays.
Mm.
Thank you, Bella. You're welcome. So, you've been great.
So, other than the growing, we do everything else on site here. So, we have the barrel rooms over here, fermentation room back here, our crush pad, our bins, and then we do the mobile bottling company. So, everything else is done on site here.
So, before the tasting room was here, was production here?
No, everything was out of Tin City.
Oh,
there was,
okay.
Yeah.
And what are, like, the price points of wines?
So we line price everything.
Oh.
It's actually on the back of your tasting menu, but our Chardonnay is $62, all of our Pinot Noirs are $70, and all of the Torin are $85.
I love that, because it makes it so easy to figure it out.
Like,
yeah. Very nice meeting you.
And it's also, we don't want to pick favorites. So like, we love them all.
We love all our children equally.
Yes.
Well, and then it's true because that kind of influences people. Like, yes. Oh, maybe I'm going to like the more expensive one more. Or
right.
Yeah. I need to get glasses like this.
You'd break them.
I also need the label to say, use this glass. That would be so great if each bottle had like a picture of the wine glass you should use.
Yeah.
What right about, next to the expiration glass, date. Yeah, perfect.
I don't have that wine glass, and I want to drink it now. What now?
Well, it's just ideal.
Oh, okay.
I also might not have 10 years to wait, but ideally I would.
You might not have 10 years to wait? You're going to die?
It's a legit concern. I have thought
actually,
about that.
No,
if I get in a car accident and die, think of all the wine that I have sitting in my house just wasted. Or if there's a fire.
When you get older.
Or an earthquake.
Stop drinking wine that would like age longer than you're going to live. That's dark.
Ideally, I've made enough money to buy it when it's old. Like, I'm only going to buy library wines so that I can go home and drink them.
Yes, but like, what if you're, but then that's kind of sad because like, what if there's a great wine that's going to come out, you know, or like it's going to be great in another.
That's always the case.
Yeah.
People have already died and missed out on that great Chardonnay. It's unfortunate, but it's the reality.
Okay.
It's going to happen to you too, for sure.
You're still dark.
Just facts. Didn't say they were good ones.
So this one is our Bien Nacido, 100% Pinot Noir out of Santa Maria Valley. Named after the vineyard that we get the grapes from.
I want to go to that Outstanding in the Field dinner at Bien Nacido so bad. It's killing me to be responsible. Yeah, that's easy drinking.
Mm-hmm. So all of our Pinot Noirs actually get treated exactly the same. So same time in barrel, same cooper, same everything. Only difference would be like clonal selection, terroir, those kinds of things.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I always like it. We were just talking about this earlier, actually, like when you get to see the differences between certain sites and certain vineyards, because it's like, oh, everything's the same except for the fruit and where it came from.
Mm-hmm. So lagom is actually the longer phrase. It actually is Swedish. It's a Swedish proverb meaning enough is as good as a feast or just the right amount. So he kind of took that in not only the case production, but how he treats the wine and just the right amount to let the fruit kind of shine for itself.
Yeah.
I like it when, like, we're tasting and we're told, like, all of the Pinots are going to be treated exactly the same. They're just from different places. Because I feel like for, like, a layman term, like, when break it down, make it simple for me. And then I get to actually see the difference and taste the difference. And I think that's appreciated and should be done more. Because it makes it so much easier to understand.
Mm-hmm. So you guys are appointment only, correct? Okay, so how many days a week? Is it just on the
weekends? We now have opened to 7.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay.
And actually, when we were out of Tin City, it wasn't even a true tasting room. We never had enough wine.
Yeah.
If they had a couple bottles, they would put a sign out and pouring today. And then if you got it, you got it.
Yeah.
But people would consistently buy Scott's wines, and he would just sell out. So this is actually the first time we've ever had enough wine to do a true flight.
Okay.
Even within this last year that our tasting room has been open. So appointment only, and yet we still have the selling out. Last fall we sold out of one varietal in 3 days. So,
wow. I mean, that's a great problem to have.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
So
if you only do 3,000 cases a year, how do you figure out how much you could taste with?
When we first opened, they knew they were going to do the tasting room. So Vical, Scott's wife, purposely held back wine so they had something to pour. So today it's all 2016. At that time it was maybe some of 14, maybe some of 09. Like, it was kind of all over the place, but it was just whatever they could pour. And we're not even at 3,000 yet. And it's just kind of whatever we have. One, today I have maybe 100 bottles left, and we just kind of play around with our tasting menu. So come fall, we may have a couple of these left to add on there, probably our Chardonnay, because we just moved on to our 16, but we don't really know, I guess is the shorter answer, because we've never really had a tasting room to predict our sales or predict what and we're gonna pour. And we've actually never had a membership either, so we finally created a membership to guarantee people those wines. So we have that way they're guaranteed the wines, and we have enough for to pour here, so it's kind of like allocating some to our tasting room. But
that's
we're
smart.
Not really sure. So each of the Pinot Noirs, we only do 100 cases, kind of ballpark number on those. The Chardonnay is anywhere between 150 and 180, so each still very small production.
And can you get your wines anywhere else or just here?
We have a very small amount of distribution, mostly in like restaurants, and they only get maybe 10 cases. So
when you were, when the tasting room wasn't really a thing yet, and wines were still selling out, how is the wine selling out? Like, is it just people who knew?
It was all word of mouth.
Okay.
A lot of people knew Scott, his reputation, and the wines he could make, and even from him being at law, people, it was kind of like a hush-hush, hey, it's just, he's just making this small thing, and everyone wanted it, and they said, you know, join the mailing list. Like,
very cool.
It'll be a couple years. And we actually still have people that come in that stumble in, maybe didn't connect the dots yet, but come in and say, oh my gosh, I've been trying to get this for years. I didn't know you had a tasting room. So it's still kind of word of mouth. But I actually got probably majority of people are word of mouth. I have very few people that have no idea about
how
Scott.
How did we end up here?
Yeah.
It was a no idea thing. I just looked on the map to see what was in the area.
Okay.
It was really cool to stumble upon you guys. What is there like any story behind the name?
Yes. So at the time, Vical, Scott's wife, was pregnant, and they were looking for baby names. They found Torin, and it's actually Gaelic, meaning of the hills. And where they lived was right off Anderson Road. Kind of right in between all the hills, but that's also what brought them to Paso, was just what comes of the hills. So they're very connected to that. And all of our names actually have some kind of meaning or story behind it, so they're very connected to kind of all of what Torin is, the names, and very hands-on with their business and all of that.
Cool.
Does
he still do consulting for other wineries?
He doesn't. This is his first time, so February... he is no longer consulting for anyone else and finally full on Torin, so it's really exciting.
So
this one's Solomon Hills, still out of Santa Maria Valley. Again, same time in barrel,
same treatment, but different vineyard.
This one's a little spicier to me than the last
It is.
One.
Like, I like it, mm-hmm. but I feel like I want something with it. And the last one, I just wanted to, like,
chug it.
I just wanted to chug it.
Well, I was thinking, like, I want to take my time, like, really dissect it, like, eat something with it. And the other one, I was like, I would just sit out and drink a bottle
of it. Like, I would drink a bottle of the last one and not realize the bottle was gone. Where this one, I would be like, oh, okay. And, like, be aware of my progress more. Does Presqu'ile have a Solomon Hills?
No.
Where have I had Solomon Hills?
So.
Because I know I have.
Tolosa has a Solomon Hills.
Oh, okay.
Tambor has a Solomon Hills Pinot, but they have the Solomon Hills, Bienesito, and Presqu'ile. And then they have one that, like, mixes them all together.
Okay.
Blends them all together.
So we kind of do the same thing. We have Solomon. We have quite a few other Pinots that are not on the list. This is our spring release.
Yeah.
So in fall, we have one called In Toto. Oh. So that's all of them. So Bienesito, Solomon Hills, and Duvarita.
Oh, I've never heard of Duvarita.
Yeah,
it's more like Lompoc.
Do you guys offer any add-on tasting experiences, or, like, is that something that you...
We don't, no. We just do the private one-on-one.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know that you guys, like, just opened,
mm-hmm.
but it's such a pretty space. Do you plan to do, like, events or private things here other than tastings?
With our membership, we just tossed around the idea of doing a pickup party, so probably moving after that and kind of seeing how that goes.
Yeah.
But it is kind of a smaller space. So we can only take so many people, and and it's kind of like the acoustics in here. After there's so many people, it's really hard to hear.
Oh, I'm sure.
So, we'll see how that goes. And that'll be more like November, because Scott is still actually picking in November. The Grenache is the last one that he picks, so we're kind of limited on when, because all of our production is here too. So,
yeah, it's just so pretty. Like, mm-hmm. I want to have enough friends to have a long table. I don't have that many friends, so it wouldn't happen, but theoretically.
Is your membership full, or?
So, it's kind of hard to answer that because our production is upping.
Yeah.
So, probably for what we can take in fall, it's probably close, mm-hmm. but then come spring, we're going to have a little more, so it will open. But the way it's going, probably in the next year or two, it will be full.
Mm-hmm.
Probably more like a year.
Yeah.
And then we'll have to do a wait list. Mm-hmm.
I think that's great.
Mm-hmm.
I hope there's a wait list for you guys. You know,
well,
like,
especially if production's going to stay, like, static. Then you're kind of always going to have a wait list. And as people, you know, leave and, like, go do something else. Then
I always feel like if there's a wait list, then they're, like, keeping the integrity of the wine. They're not just, like, making more to make more so that they can have more people in their wine club. They're holding steady and, like, nope, this is where we are done.
Yeah.
Wait your turn, people. I mean, don't make me wait, but make other people wait.
So this one is the Banshee, kind of our take of a GSM. And actually, one of our four core wines that we started with when we started Torrent. Two you're going to do today, so the Banshee and the Maven, was 2006 was our first vintage on those. So this is actually Syrah Lead, so kind of different order of a GSM, and it gets its name from all of the coyotes that would be coming through their vineyards when they first started and howling like a banshee. They were trying to listen for the baby crying inside while they were sitting on the porch and didn't realize where they had put the house was kind of coyote freeway. So all the coyotes would be coming through, and this is almost like wild and dark and feral, like a coyote or a banshee's cry.
Mm-hmm.
And oddly enough, we have two, like, resident coyotes that come down at noon, like, the last couple of weeks, so they've been checking out.
We were just in Yellowstone, and while we were there, one day we were, like, driving along, and there was a coyote that was, like, putting on a show, just sniffing and hunting and then, like, jumping, chasing something. It ran across the street, like, right in front of us. And it was crazy. You guys didn't see that, huh?
No.
Yeah.
But we see coyotes
a lot. Like, it was so fun to see it. Just, like, it was having fun and totally in its own little world. So why this glass? This does not have a lip.
No. It is also more of a bold red. So you're going to taste it differently than the Pinot and the Chardonnay, which actually we didn't start off pouring the Chardonnay in that glass. It was within the last couple months that Scott happened to try it in there and was like, all right, changing the order.
Yeah.
But he's always like very hands-on with everything, so he brought a couple new glasses down the other day. We're like, all right, new glasses, here we go. So I heard you guys talking about kind of the design of the tasting room when you came in. Mm-hmm. We're really lucky that Scott not only is a great winemaker, but that he's actually helped design other tasting rooms. So he helped design
Law. He knew what he was doing.
Yeah, he knew what he was doing. Uh-huh.
Got all those mistakes out on other places.
Yeah, on other people's budgets.
Yeah, it's the way to do it.
Yes. So the garage doors will open, and we have a screen that comes down. So we'll get like the nice cross breeze that keeps the bugs out.
Yeah. I love the garage doors.
Yeah.
Like, I would like that in my house somehow.
We get that a lot, yeah. People come here and get inspired for their own houses.
Yeah.
He also did the really big skylight, so we don't need to turn the lights on. The only thing that's on right now is the little strip lights, so it just floods the natural light in and reduces having to run everything. And then they wanted a big open feel, so that's why they put the tasting room in the middle of the building instead of on an end anywhere. Mm-hmm. And then our barrels are on the north side of the building with the lower ceiling, so you don't have to run the air as much.
Cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
No, it's a gorgeous building.
So your membership is new, mm-hmm. correct? Cool.
Yes.
And it's just the 1, 2, 6 bottle shipments each year?
Yes. Pre-selected. And then we also do what we call the Vicinage series. So anything within a few, vicinity of us. And Scott really wants to showcase the vineyard. He will do that. Mm-hmm. So come fall, that'll be a James Berry with Syrah and Grenache. And only our members will get access to that. And he only makes one barrel, so that's about 50 cases and doesn't touch our tasting room. Only allocated to the members, and they can get like maybe one bottle.
Okay. So, and it's only the Torin,
correct.
Not the...
The Lagom. Yeah, so the Lagom we don't make enough. We only do 500 cases. So it only is the Torin. So come fall, we're going to do our Akasha, which was the one that sold out last year in 3 days, and our Sundari. So it's a Cab, Tanat, Syrah, and Grenache blend.
Wow. I like that it says how much it'll be.
Yeah.
I like that that's becoming more popular.
Yeah. On the point rating.
Yes.
So it says 96 to 99, uh-huh. 95 to 97. How is there variation?
So what he will do is if we don't have it in bottle, he'll taste it out of barrel and give you a 3-point range.
Okay.
Anything can kind of happen at that point in barrel, meaning this is the best it could be. This is anything it could go to be. And sometimes he'll come back and then retry them and then... go from there. And
cool. Oh, that's really cool. Yeah. I did not know that. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's nice.
This one is the Maven. So it's always been Grenache driven. Previous vintages were 100% Grenache, but this one's 93% and 7% Mourvèdre. And he co-fermented one barrel. He was going to do just a strictly Grenache. And then once he co-fermented the barrel and he kind of liked it together versus the sum of its parts, Maven is actually the kind of an homage to Pebbles, kind of being a maven and highly skilled in something. So that's kind of Scott's homage to Pebbles. And this one's really fun because we get our Grenache from two different sites that serve kind of two different purposes. So one is our old, kind of near our old property, which is Full Draw. And then we get some right outside from Four Hearts. So one over on Full Draw, they're younger vines, they're a little vibrant. But then Four Hearts is 35-year-old head-trained dry farm Grenache grape. So more power and intensity, kind of bringing both to the table on this one.
Cool. Yeah.
I liked the Bien Nacido and the Banshee, and I liked the Spanish Springs Chardonnay.
I really like, yeah, I agree. I liked the Chardonnay. And I liked the Bien Nacido. I mean, I liked all of them, but those are my favorites is probably a better way to say that.
Mm-hmm. What is the winemaker recommending as far as like aging of the wines?
So the Chardonnay, as you can tell, is great right out of the bottle. Mm-hmm. But he says lay it down anywhere from 5 to 10 years, probably 7 being its prime.
Okay.
Um, the Pinot Noirs, you could do maybe 5 years or so. And the Torin, I mean 10, but kind of, it's in a sense a guess for us because, you know, wine gets better, then it kind of plateaus, and then you're like, okay, drink it now. We have not reached that point yet.
Yeah.
So it's kind of just predicting. We've had, I think we had a 09 Akasha that was great, which is our Syrah. Still great, so that's 10 years or so. So we don't really know. It's kind of the short answer, but Chardonnay's easier to answer. But
yeah, I was just noting, like, I think the Maven would be, like, really good in, like, 5 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, lay it down for a little bit.
Yeah.
Cool. I'm just not patient.
Well, you have enough wine, you can afford to be patient.
I don't
5 years goes by pretty fast. Like,
it does.
There's wine that I like put away and then I found it and I was like, oh, forgot about that. Oh, it's great to drink now. Great.
Hey guys, thanks for listening to the episode we recorded at Torin. Unfortunately, our original conclusion that we recorded was drowned out by wind noise. I haven't been drinking yet today, don't worry. And is not salvageable, so it definitely couldn't release that. So sorry you don't get to hear all of our little afterthoughts as we were fresh off coming from that visit, but I think the key takeaways are that Torin is doing some really cool wines, and you know, some of your typical Paso wine under the Torin label, and then also things that you might not expect in the Paso area, you know, cool climate Chardonnay, Pinot Noir. Really, really good wines, though, overall. So go ahead and pay them a visit if that sounds like something that's up your alley. Keep in mind that all tastings are appointment only. And, you know, also another thing to keep in mind is these are limited production, very well-made wines, and the prices reflect that. So, you know, there isn't going to be any $20 bottles, even for the white wine, or I don't think they had a rosé, but, you know, definitely for white wine, people sometimes are taken aback by higher price points on those. So just something to keep in mind for your visit. We hope that you guys have a great week and get out and do some tasting. We're so sorry that the original recording just didn't come through. You know, it was just the conclusion anyway. But overall, we had a great stop at Torin. Thank you so much to them for letting us come out and record. It was a really great experience. You get a lot of one-on-one time with your own tasting attendant. And so you get the opportunity to ask a lot of questions about the wines, winemaking practices, all of that, if that's something you're into. Otherwise, you know, go check out any of our other podcast episodes. Find other places that are similar or that you want to hear about. And as always, you can check out our app, Central Coast Uncorked. We are still working on getting the iPhone app released. I know I say that every week, but I really, really am working on it. It's just time consuming to do and work with Apple. So if you guys have any pointers, feel free to DM us on Instagram or send us an email. You can find the email address on our website, centralcoastuncorked.com. And otherwise, like, we will be back with another fresh episode next week, and we can't wait to share it all with you. We'll see you guys later.